me out. They didn't have, usually, they have to take you to therapy and put you in therapy for a long time. I didn't have to go to therapy or anything. And the doctor, when he released me, he said, Miss Crow, he said, we hate to see you go. He said, you've been a good patient. I don't know what he meant by that. I don't know what I did. You know, I don't know what I said. I don't know how I acted. But anyway, it must have been good. He said, you've been a good patient, and everybody likes you. He said, everybody likes you. I said, I appreciate y'all being nice to me. I said, you've done a lot for me, I know. And I said, but I've had lots of people praying for me because, see, the Memphis meeting, they prayed for me there. And then later I heard on the DVD and the Memphis, the meeting that they had in Jacksonville, Florida. And I heard them call my name there later. And I told him, I said, I've had lots of people praying for me. And he said, I know that. And he said, I just want you to know that you are our miracle lady, because I said, we almost lost you. And as you know, that anybody, when they have aneurysm of the brain, they just don't last very long. We had a brother in our church here, Brother Weininger. You remember the brother that had aneurysm of the brain, and he just died like that, you know. And but anyway, the doctor was just, he couldn't get over it when I told him about it. And he said, well, Ms. Crow, said, looking over your record and everything, said, you really went through it. And said, I'll have to say that it was someone up above that was looking over you. And I said, yes, indeed, it certainly was. And then the nurse, I was telling her about it, and she said, oh, Ms. Crow, said, oh, said, I feel something, you know. So I said, honey, that's the Spirit of God you feel it. And so anyway, God has been so good. And I thought about this dear brother. I thought, if he done that for me, he can do it. He can do it for him too. And because, just think, I don't know how. Well, I mean, he said, the doctor said they almost lost me. So I'm pretty sure I slipped off pretty much. But I thought, Lord, I'm so glad that you saved me and give me a chance. I haven't made what I am striving to make yet. And I just appreciate the Lord because that he has spared me. And I thought how, I thank the Lord so many times for blessing me and keeping me. And I thought, here I am at my age. I can just about outwork most any lady. And I thought, when I go about my work at home, I do yard work, I do my housework and all. And just this last week, y'all know I'm a country girl and I like to do things. And I got my tiller out and plowed my garden over. And not very many people can do that at my age. But I'm just an old country girl and glad about it. Start to say proud, but I better not say that. But anyway, I'm thankful that God has been so good. I've tried. I've really tried to live for God, and I've tried to have faith, and I'm praying more for faith all the time. Lord, I know that you can do things, and there's things that you know, that we come against every day, that we need the Lord. We need his help. And I thought, Lord, I'm dependent on you, and I know that all these things that you can do. And I thought about this brother. I thought, Lord, you can heal that boy. You can heal him. And whatever his need is, you can do it, because our God can do that. Because I know not only the things that's happened with me, there's other things that we've had great healings in this church. And God is able to do all things. And I hope that the Lord will bless him and let him to see that God can do those things. And I know that that I'm not worthy of what God does for me, but at least I'm trying. And I say, Lord, that's all I can do. I always, you know, just try and just keep on trying. So tonight I thank the Lord and I praise him for keeping his hand on me. And I've come this way a long way. I've been with this people since I was 17 years old. And I've really tried, Brother Smith, I've really tried to live for God. And I have a conscience that if I do anything or even think about doing something wrong, I've got a conscience that really bothers me. And I'm glad I've got it. And I don't want to lose that, because after all, that's part of our salvation. We've got to have a conscience that we want to live for God. And because after all, the world is watching us. You know, you don't know who's watching you. And I mean, even my neighbors, I didn't know they paid attention to me, but they notice what I wear. And they say, well, they notice that I don't wear slacks and things like that. My husband said, no, said you don't wear them all. So you don't know who's watching you. And we're the only Jesus that a lot of people is going to see. So today, since we are called out and we are chosen people, and we are delegated to do a great and special work for the Lord, and I'm so thankful that I am included in this, and God is so good, and I praise Him tonight, and I thank Him. I just praise Him, and oh God, I thank You, Lord, that You led me this way, and that You opened my eyes and let me to see the things that I see. I don't understand as much as I want to, but I'm trying to, every time I come to church, Lord, keep my heart open that I can understand the things of God. And I want to do the right thing. I want to be an example. I'd like to be a person that my life could put your finger on anything wrong. I don't mean to be a Mrs. Goody Two Shoes or anything like that, but I want to do the right thing because I started out to live for God, and I lived all through my teenage years. And my mother, when Harlan was in service, and I went to him, I followed him as far as I could go before he went overseas. And when I left home, my mother said, Mildreen, don't forget that you're a Christian. She just meant you do right. You're not around all of us, but you make sure that you do right. And that voice followed me, and I'm glad that I've been taught through the ministry to do the right thing. And I thought how that we're in a church that teaches you all the good things that we need to know, how to live right, how to dress right, how to walk right, and all like that. And where can you find something like that? I mean, we've got everything that we need here. If we'll just take it and use it in the right way, we've got everything it takes for us to make it. And so tonight, I'd like to use it. I would like to really use it to the uttermost, because God is so good. And this is not a playtime. This is not a play church. This is reality. And I've always thought, Lord, I'd like to be with Your people, the ones that really, really is Your chosen people. And thank God today that prayer's been answered. And I appreciate the Lord. And my desire is to live closer to Him, because I realize that I'm getting close to sundown. It's time for me to go home after a while. But I'll tell you one thing. I want to do the right thing because I know this is real. And I have no doubt whatsoever in my mind that we have found the real thing. And that has always been my desire, is to find the real reality of God, because I don't like to play about anything. I want the real and genuine. And I feel tonight that we have, because it's proven. This has proven itself. And so I want to prove myself. So God is so good. Bless His name.
Well, just like the others here, I have been healed. Whenever I was 2 or 3, I had problems. Whenever I was born, I had problems with my heart. I didn't have enough oxygen, so they gave me this medicine that, and it made me where I could not talk or hear anything. And the doctor said, well, she's permanent like this, and she's gonna be deaf, and she won't be able to talk for the rest of her life. And then when I was 4, my mom took me up front to get prayed for. After everybody got done praying for me, she sat down, and then during church, right after they played a song, my mom said that right after that song was done playing, whenever we sat down, I screamed, Mama. And I'm just so thankful that God healed me. Or I would not be talking. Or I'll be doing this testimony in sign language, which I probably have y'all will not understand. And then just last year before the youth meeting, well, no, after the youth meeting, we went back up to Wisconsin. We were in her house. I was going to the school in Eau Claire. And when the weekend came, I decided to stay with one of my friends. And I started getting sharp pains in my side. So they took me to the hospital. And the doctor's like, well, there's nothing wrong. The next day, we were out shopping for furniture for our new house. And all of a sudden, the sharp pain came back again. And I almost passed out from all the pain. So my mom took me to a different hospital. And they said that my appendix were going to explode because it was so infected that they couldn't even know why that the other hospital didn't figure it out. And then while I was taking there, they said, well, you're going to have to have surgery immediately or this thing's going to explode and you'll be in the hospital and you probably won't make it. And my mom called there in Wisconsin, we have this club thing where it's called Big Brothers, Big Sisters, where you get big brother or big sister. So I got a big sister, and my mom called her real quick. She ran from the college, which was 12 miles away. And she got there in 10 minutes. I asked her, I'm like, why did you come? You were 12 miles away. You didn't have to come. She's like, well, Sarah, I came here to pray for you. And I'm like, well, the doctors already said that I probably even won't make it through the surgery. She's like, Sarah, don't say that. And I'm like, well. At that time, I was losing my faith with God. And if she hadn't prayed for me, we ended up calling our pastor out there. And he started praying. And he said, no. They're like, okay, well, surgery time. I'm like, well, if I'm not going to make if you're telling me that I'm not even going to make the surgery, and even if I don't get the surgery, I'm not going to make it, well, then why are you even doing the surgery? Just let me sit here and die. But they took me back anyways. And they were putting the medicine to put me under to go to sleep so they can do the surgery. I was sitting there, I'm like, well, Mom, goodbye. I love she's, because she was sitting right there on my bedside. I'm like, well, Mom, I love you. And I don't know how these doctors are saying it, but tells you I love him too. That even though I did push him out into the shower with ice cold water and push him out into a blizzard and let him be there for 30 minutes because me and him would just not see each other, I just told him that he was the best brother. Next thing I know, I wake up and I see my big sister's face. First thing I asked, I'm like, am I in heaven? And she's like, no, you made it through this surgery. Me, your mom, and your dad, and your brother were all praying. And during the surgery, they said that it looked like you were going to make it. So we all sat there and prayed. And now we were so worried that whenever I got when I woke up, my mom was sitting there crying. She was holding my hand. And she's like, Sarah, why did you say goodbye? And I'm like, well, the doctor said I was going to die. And she's like, yeah, that's what the doctor said. But that's not what God decided for you. And to this day, I am happy to be able to be alive. And what's bad is I'm happy to be alive, and my granny said that, well, God can do all things. If that was her most favorite thing, was that you can do all things through Jesus Christ. I'm like, yeah, but Jesus is the one that healed me. She's like, yeah. And so, and then right after that, I re-sensed him, me and my grandfather. I sung a song here in church, and he calls me his little miracle grandchild, because he was a little boy. He was actually the same. He was 14, and his dad, Alvin Dick Nichols, we all call him Daddy Dick. But he says that, well, your real children, God told my grandfather, Daddy Dick, that, well, everybody in your family, including the ones that are friends with your family, will all be healed and be blessed. And when I heard that, I'm like, oh, well, that's just some story, because Daddy Dick was known about telling stories. I mean, really, really good ones, where he made one scary one that it flipped us all out. He was good at telling stories. So I'm like, okay, well, if you say this is true, well, then I don't know, but I don't think it's true. And ever since then, my grandpa keeps on telling me that. And I'm like, well, Roger, that thing last year, I said, well, then it's true. And then now
she's telling about God healing her when she had surgery. I think some of them have lost where you're going. You're crying, they're having a hard time understanding you. But God saw her through her surgery and helped her. And she's just expressing her thankfulness for it. Aren't we glad God touched her and helped her? Yes. Praise God. All right. Bless the Lord. Thank you, Sister Sarah, for that.
To move to Little Rock to this church. And I have a neighbor that lives, well, we're across the alley, and we all sit in each other's backyard in the alley. But she comes over and visits me a lot. And this week, we do talk about church. She goes to the Emmanuel Baptist Church up here on the hill on 430. And I was, for some reason, told her that I'd been down here in this church 41 years, and she looked at me so strange. And I guess it was really the Lord that led me this way to talk to her, because I told her how the Lord dealt with me before I came to Little Rock and how he dealt with me. And I was proceeded to tell her the apartment that I had was upstairs, and I had windows all the way around the living room and the bedroom, which they were combined, but I had them divided. And I'd leave my curtains open at night because I could see the moon and the stars. And I was telling her, I said, Wanda, I said, I was in sin. I said, I was converted when I was a young girl. I didn't go into the baptism, the Holy Ghost, and like that. But I told her about me getting converted a young girl. And I said, when I became a teenager, I said, one thing to another led me to worldly things. I've been out in sin. And I said, I was in deep sin. But I said, all through those times, I said, the Lord had his hand on me. And I said, there was a song that the Lord gave my mother, and the chorus of it, and I sung the chorus to her. And I'll say the words so y'all can go along with my story. But the chorus goes, and Brother Brett sings it, just wanted to tell you, I'm thankful for what you have done, for the stars and the moonlight. And when I'd lay there at night, I would just bawl. I was telling one, I would just cry and cry to the Lord. The Lord was dealing with me. And I said, and the stars and the moonlight and the setting sun. And when my work here is through, I'm coming home to be with you. Just wanted to tell you, I'm thankful, that's all. And she would sit there and just look at me. And I said, Wanda, the Lord dealt with me so strong. I said, I moved to Little Rock just for that church. She said, you did? And I said, yes. I said, now I had a grandmother here and my aunt, my mother's sister and brother and sister-in-law. But I said, in time, they left. I had no family down here. I said, but God was my family. This church was my family. And I said, I'm still with them. And there was other things we talked about. She was just beside herself that I would be here this long. And I came here for this church. And when Brother Smith was singing this song, being touched by the Master's strong hand, I was touched back then. And before I moved down here, I had a dream. And I dreamed that I was on top of a mountain or a hill. And it was bare on top of that hill. And I was in, it was a sort of a peak. And I was in the middle of that peak. And I had snakes all around me. And my daddy was standing over here and he couldn't reach over and get me. But a lady came with a white dress and picked me up and took me down into the valley of the most beautiful flowers and all the bluebirds you could see. And after I got here, I knew what that dream meant. This was the church that picked me up. God picked me up out of sin when I backslid and brought me to his fold. My mother had a dream after I got here that I was down here in the cleaners being cleaned. And when you was talking today about the sun and the shadow, I've still got some shadows. And if y'all know me, as long as you've been around me, you know I've still got some shadows. But I'm still in the cleaners being cleaned. He's cleansing me for that day that I will be able to have that garment as pure and white as we're supposed to have to make it. That's my desire. And when you were singing that song, Brother Smith, I had turned around to this young man, and I felt like going to him, but it wouldn't have been proper. Just as I turned back around, you had invited him to come up for prayer. And that had to be the Lord. Not that I felt that I'm anything special, but I felt it. But if he only could know what it's like to really, really had that deep experience with the Lord. How he could cleanse you. And another thing, I was telling Wanda, and I may be wrong, I'm quoting what I've heard, that we get to talking about sinning. And I said, Wanda, you can sin a day away your day of grace. She said, no, you can't. She said, once you're saved, you're always saved. And I didn't get too much deep with her, but she wanted me to bring her some literature of our teachings. She said, we don't hear that in our church. I said, they don't talk about water baptism, and she does believe in the immersion and everything, but I bring some topics to her, talk to her about it, and she just would love to hear it. And this poor girl, she's so sweet. She's so good to me. And I really hope the Lord blesses her, because she will. She knows that David's not able to take me places I need to be. And when we was in the minister's meeting, I was needing to go to the grocery store. And, I'll back up. I was needing to go to the drugstore to get some medicine for David, because David was very, very sick. And he couldn't be left alone. And I called Holly for her to come and take me to the drugstore, get his medicine and some other items he needed at Walmart. And she was sort of short with me because she wanted to hurry up. She had something else to do. And I said, well, just take me back. Wanda will take me. But that Saturday night, Wanda took me to the Kroger's, to the grocery store. I've got this lady right behind me for anything I need. She has been a blessing to me because she knows I can't drive. And she has just gone into remission of cancer. She has lymphoma, something. Anyway, it's in her stomach. This is her second round of it, but it's a different kind. And the day she came to me, when they finally got her test, she came to me, was standing by the garage, and she looked at me, and she told me, I've got cancer again. And I just put my arm around her and started praying. I said, oh, God, have mercy. Because this Lord, this woman must be a neighbor for a reason. And I know she would probably come to church with me. But Dale has had strokes, or one major stroke. He's paralyzed so bad that he has to have a scooter and so many different things and everything. And she's everything that he's ever needed. She takes care of everything. But maybe one of these days I can get her to church, because she acts like she's hungry for teaching that they don't get. But I thank the Lord for people like that. She may not be what I have here. She may not have what I've got. But she's been a blessing to me, and maybe in the long run I could be a blessing to her. But the best blessing I've ever had is to know that I've got a people who cares here. I have found this people that cares and loves you. It's a true love, a godly love, and I'm so thankful I'm a part of this people.
I keep thinking of those words that the quartet sings. You'll never know until it happens to you. I keep thinking of those sweet words that it goes beyond wanting to know and possess the things of the world. But when that gets down in your soul and in your heart, and in your mind, it becomes a priority that nothing in this world can satisfy. Until God gets down in your heart, then you know what people are talking about when they say there's a God that has touched me and touched my soul and has done me so good to me, has been so good to me. And I just kept thinking about those words. You'll never know what it's like to live for an almighty God.
Well, I know this episode is kind of about thankfulness, so I've got my little 5 cents in. Wednesday night, I had a little bit of food poisoning. For those of y'all that have had it, y'all know it does not feel good. So I went up for prayer, didn't feel any better, but I talked to Brother Weiger after service, and he gave me this little family recipe, I guess. I don't know. But I guess I'll pass it on to y'all now. It's ginger, lemon, and pretty much lemonade. You put ginger in lemonade, even though it's hot for a little bit. Cured me pretty good. Cured me real quick. But anyway, I just wanted to say that. And I heard this from somewhere. I don't know if it's actually true or not, but this hallelujah is pretty much the same word in every language. It's hallelujah in Russian. And Joel, ¿cómo se dice hallelujah en español? ¿Sí? ¿Sí? Gracias. That's pretty much all I know how to say is how you say this, but anyway, that's pretty much my testimony tonight.
As y'all know, I had cancer in, was it 93, had colon cancer. And I always think of Brother Doug, you know, when he went through his surgery, I thought, you know, I've been there, so I really felt something for Brother Doug. And if you've never, until you have cancer, it is scary, like you said, Lynette. But thank God, it's been how many years now? And the Lord healed me. That's all I can say. I mean, I went through chemo and all that, but the doctor said a lot of times that it will come back. But thank God.
Thank God.
Thank you, Jesus. But the most important thing is, you know, being healed, that's important. But if you don't know the Lord, but anyway, I'm just going to sing. My testimonies are songs. I'm not a big testifier. Let's see. If you could own all the world and its money, build castles tall enough to reach the skies above. If you could know everything there is to know about life's game, yet you know nothing until you've known God and His love. Until you've known the loving hand that reaches down to fallen man and lifts him up from out of sin where he has trod. Until you know just how it feels to know that God is really real, then you know nothing until you've known the love of God.
If in your lifetime you could meet everybody and you could call every name from here to yon, but if you've not come face to face with Jesus and His saving grace, then you've known no one until you've known the love of God. Oh, until you've known the loving hand that reaches down to fallen man and lifts him up, oh, from out of sin where he has trod. Until you've known just how it feels to know that God is really real, then you've known nothing until you've known money, build castles tall enough to reach the skies above. If you could know everything there is to know about life's game, yet you'd know nothing until you've known God and His love. Until you've known the loving hand that reaches down to fallen man and lifts him up from out of sin where he has trod. Until you've known just how it feels to know that God is really real, then you've known nothing until you've known the love of God. Until you've known the loving hand that reaches down to fallen man and lifts him up from out of sin where he has trod. Until you know just how it feels to know that God is really real, then you've known nothing until you've known. Castles tall enough to reach the skies above. If you could know everything there is to know about life's game, yet you know nothing until you know God and His love. Oh, until you know the loving hand that reaches down up from out of sin where he has trod, until you know just how it feels to know that God is really real, yet you know nothing until you've known the love of God. Until you've known
that reaches down
of God. Oh, until you've known the loving hand that reaches down to falling man and lifts him up from out of sin where he has trod. Until you've known just how it feels to know that God is really real, then you've known nothing until till you've known the love of God. Oh, until you've known the loving hand that reaches down to fallen man and lifts him up from out of sin where he has drawn. Until you've known just how it feels to know that God is really real, then you know nothing until you've known the love of God. Oh, until you've known the loving hand that reaches down to fallen man and lifts him up from out of sin where he has trod. Until you've known just how it feels to know that God.
And you've known nothing until you've known the love of God. Until you've known the loving hand that reaches down to fallen man and lifts him up from out of sin where he has drawn.
This has been a good day. Appreciate the Lord and Brother Ray Valdez got the Holy Ghost this morning. Praise God. I mean, he got a good touch of it and he got pressed back in down here tonight speaking in tongues. I asked him, I said, did you get it? He said, yeah, I got it. Hallelujah. Praise God. That's a miracle. That's a wonderful birth of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. All right, here's a little look here. This is some kind of a bobby pin with a doodad on it. It's got a, huh? Well, I don't know. It's got some kind of a...
It's fine, but Brooklyn had her hair.
Okay. Look here, did she lose this too?
No.
This one here is a little green. This is a little green bow tie, it looked like, but it goes in your hair, I believe. Whose is it? Whose?
Renaya.
Renaya.